world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, so thanks for coming today. Thanks for coming. Some of you come here every day. And I want you to know that I appreciate it. And I want you to know this. Lord, just let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight in Jesus' name. I want you to know how I don't take it for granted. And I want you to know this, that what was that? Some men dream dreams that John F. Kennedy, what was his statement? He said, Bobby Kennedy, I see things differently sometimes, and sometimes it's like a burden, to be honest with you. I used to be just a happy-go-lucky, beer-drinking, cussing, carousing. And that used to be me. And then something happened to me. I became a brand-new creature. And, of course, the born-again experience. And if you haven't had that born-again experience, I don't I don't know what to tell you, because if you haven't, then a lot of what we say doesn't make sense. If you're just religious and doing Christianity out of duty, and then maybe you don't understand it. I was just saying before we went live here, I'm not an expert, man. I'm a helmet head. I'm a football coach, but I have the Holy Spirit in me, and part of why I come here in the morning, I hope one of the reasons you come here in the morning is to, number one, challenge what I believe. If you have a faith that can't be challenged, you don't have much faith. I'm sorry. And if you can't vigorously defend what you believe, and if we bring up something here that goes against what you believe and it makes you nervous, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm going to tell you this, this old guy right here, I'm relentlessly, as Rush Limbaugh would say, pursuing the truth. I don't know the truth all the time, but I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. And I got I didn't sleep very well last night. I told Michelle it was a tormented night's sleep without the torment. I wasn't tormented, but I was on the edge of, see, there's another realm. I was on the edge of another realm. I'm not trying to sound woo-woo-woo-y. I'm not trying to sound more spiritual than anybody else. But, you know, I went last night to Tom Dunn. There's two events going on. And Tom Dunn had what do they call it? Freedom Encounters. So I went and listened to 2 hours last night of Freedom Encounters and how you get free from the demonic and yada, yada, yada. And I couldn't sleep. I'm going to dive into some of that here in a minute. We're going to take communion. Appreciate Joe getting up out there early in the morning. Friends, I don't know what you think. I'm telling you, the last 5, 6, 7 shows have been freaking out of that. They have been unbelievable, I think. Now, you may not, because you may be stuck in the mud in your theological basket. As I said yesterday, Jesus said, if everything that had been done would be written, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it all. So if you think you got it figured out, God, I wish I was you. Because the more I dig in, the less I think I know. Anybody, somebody say amen on that one? That's where I am. Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Now, that was talking about silly women who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But you know what drives people away from Coach Dave Live? When I question their theology. I question their theology, and boy, they, if I start speaking against the Jews, oh my goodness. Oh, if I start speaking against Israel, half of you will leave. Because you have been brainwashed. You have been brainwashed. So somehow, if you question the, what do they call that? The dispensationalist narrative, you're anti-Semitic. You're a Jew. Would somebody just boom me? I know whoever it was. Amen. Boom.
Boom.
And I just want to know the truth. That's all. I don't hate the Jews. I don't hate blacks. I don't hate Luciferians. But I admit that they're there. All of those are there. There's something bigger going on. So you hang on with us, because I got something for you on the other side of communion here that you'll be glad that you got into. Joe, thanks for getting up this morning. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, you're welcome, Coach. Reading this morning is John 10:9-18. Sorry, it's a little bit earlier in California.
Sorry, man.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
So not through the Vatican, not through the Baptist Association, not through the Presbyterian organization, not through the Church of God in Christ Jesus, not through any of that stuff, right? He's the door. You go through him. Go ahead, Joe.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly.
See, Joe, hang on a second. We talked about this the other day. The thief isn't the devil. The thief, can I tell you? The thief is man-made religion. That's what I believe. Man-made religion. Jesus came to set us free from man-made religion. Keep going, Joe.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep.
Let me give you the modern Dobbenmeyer translation. The pastor fleeth because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. Not really. Doesn't really. Go ahead.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Mm. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold.
Are you kidding me?
Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Wow.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again.
Why does his Father love him? Because he lays down his life. Wow, go ahead.
No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.
Wow.
This commandment have I received of my Father.
Oh, I could preach that. Don't get me gone, Joe. I could preach that one.
Yeah, there's so much there. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts. Gratitude for this unconventional congregation using the miracles of modern technology to bring us all together from all across this great nation that we're grateful you put us in to live our lives. And Lord, we're grateful for the challenges we have that are waking us up, that bring us to our knees, that help us seek you, find you, surrender to you, understand you more, and walk the path you would have us walk in these often challenging times. We know that the Chinese have a curse, Lord, that says, may you live in interesting times. But we are grateful, Lord, that you have let us here live in these interesting times. And we are grateful for this family online that helps each other grow and learn and walk the path we're on now. And Lord, you know the trials that so many have been through in Los Angeles and with the fires and the East Coast with the hurricanes and the winter and the storms and the lack of assistance from places from whence assistance should have flowed, that should have poured out assistance, and it only seems to have started to get it beginning fixed with the change of leadership. So we ask that the assistance come quickly to those who need it. We ask that you sustain those as they wait. And you also, if any of this lack of assistance, lack of help was intentional, Lord, if something wasn't offered when it should have been and normally would have been, but for someone deciding not to, then let there be justice, Lord, and let the justice be visible so that it won't, such infractions won't be repeated again. And we know the whole world is shaking right now. There's wars and wars about to start. We ask that you put your hand over these things and let peace find a path. We ask that you assist our president in navigating these waters. We also, Lord, ask that you help us here on this call who need healing in our bodies, our spirits, our souls. If we need healing, Lord, please let us receive it now. Let this be the meal that heals. And so we ask that you bless this bread and this blood and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was given for us so many years ago. And we are grateful that we worship the one true God who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions as we come into your sight, remembering what was done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, and I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. 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 Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, sir.
Hey, listen. Well, that sounds like an order, doesn't it? I just want you guys to know something. That one of the things that's difficult about the what I do here is new people join all the time. And I used to say to we have the most unbelievable team here. I say, Lord, I think I'm just gonna do a testimony this week, today on the show. I'm just gonna do testimony time and let Craig talk about what he does and let Randy talk about what he does and in other words, testimony time, so that you can say to those who are listening, man, this changed my life. This has changed my life. And I want you to know that I know that it's changed the life of many of you, and you guys are what I would call top shelf. We got so many top shelfers in here. So understand that when I bring a chastisement, when I do a coaching, it may not be directed at you. I used to tell our football team, if I yell at the team, you guys got to quit loafing. You got to quit loafing. If I yelled at my football team, stop the loafing. I told them, if you're not loafing, I'm not talking to you. You get it? Huh? I see people loafing. Stop loafing. If I say, Joe, stop loafing, now you listen. You know what happens? I say, stop loafing, and y'all take it personally. So I'm working as hard. Okay, good. You're supposed to. Keep doing it, right? Right? So, I could run down a litany. I could open this thing up right now and say, understand this, not about Coach Dave, not about this program, but what the Lord has done in your heart that has changed you. I could do testimony after testimony of people, right? I see the names. See, something is making you get up and come here every morning. 2,576 shows. Now, not all of you have been here for 2,576 shows. Some of you only been here for 10. I just heard from somebody yesterday. Oh my goodness, where have you been? Where, not me. Where's this been? Why? Because we're not getting it in our churches, and they know it. So please understand, if I yell at the loafers, if you're not loafing, I'm not talking to you, okay? Because if I took all my time to go around and say, let me tell you what Beth is doing, let me tell you what Betty's doing, oh, let me tell you what Aaron's doing, oh, we never get done, huh? So you've been called into a kingdom for such a time as this, and it's my job to exhort you to play harder. Play harder. And I want you to know that I know how hard it has been and how much it has cost so many of you, friends, family members, to actually stand up and do the right thing. I know it has not come without a cost. And I want you to know that I appreciate it. So when I talk about you lazy and you pastors, if you're a great pastor, God bless you. Go for it. Right? Huh? I appreciate you all out there. Saw David Arthur last night. I see he's in here this morning. I saw David Arthur last night. And you know, folks, look, I told David, and I told him to his face, that Alexander the Coppersmith's done this great harm. David, the fall that you made, dude, that's bad. I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever fallen back? Is the restoration for the wounded? Even if you get wounded again. And I think we have to trust but verify We have to let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. But I believe the gospel is about restoration. That's what I believe. Trust but verify. And me personally, I know some of you maybe, just telling the truth, David. Maybe some of you don't trust David. See, nobody knows another man's heart. I believe his heart's been changed. But I also know he stands on a precipice. We all do. Temptation is so powerful. It's one thing I'm going to talk about here in a second. Do you want to be forgiven when you repent? You, I'm talking to you. Do you want to be forgiven when you repent? Or is it a death sentence? If you fall back, is it a death sentence? If you're an alcoholic and you stay dry, and then all of a sudden you fall back, is that a death sentence? Or is there restoration after that? Here's where I want to go this morning. I really want to do a, you know me, I want to do a flea flicker Friday. But I got to get off my chest because I think it's why I couldn't sleep last night. Now, I want all of you right now to say, Coach Dave, we will still love you when you're done. Go ahead. Everybody, you don't have to say it on the microphone. We'll still love you when you're done. We'll still love you, Coach, if it hurts, we'll still love you, Coach. I know, Coach, you're doing it in love. I know you're doing it in love. I think here's what I was burdened about. Number one, the supernatural has left the church. So I didn't have to go last night. Tom Dunn at his event in Mansfield took me an hour and 40 minutes to get up there and an hour and 40 minutes to get home. I drove up and I watched a presentation for 2 hours talking about spiritual issues. Tom Dunn's event is spiritual issues. And I was blessed to be there talking about what are they called? Freedom encounters, how to get people away from the demonic, yada, yada. Would you guys agree with me? That most places you go to church, you never hear about the demonic. You never hear about it. The average person really has no idea to cast out a spirit. Do you really believe in him? Do they ever talk about the supernatural that way in your church? And I would say, for most of you, never. So understand this. You are right now cutting edge. You right listening to this show right now, you're cutting edge. I can tell you this. Some of you never heard of Tartaria till a couple days ago when I started talking about it in the pre-flood world. And what was here, you never thought. It's not that you were obstinate. It's not that you were stupid. You never thought about it. You go to church every Sunday and the pastor talks to you about how to live your best life now because that's what everything has morphed into. Not every pastor, relax. But here's what I saw. I think this is why I couldn't sleep last night. Because there's a wonderful event going on this same weekend, 30 miles away from where the other event is. I'm kind of part of both of them. And they couldn't be any more different. Now, hang on. Somebody encouraged me. Say, go ahead and say it anyway, Coach, no matter who makes mad. Go ahead and say it, Coach.
Let
it
rip.
I only need one of you to say it. Okay? See, here's what we have. The reason we're not advancing the kingdom of God, which is what we're supposed to do, Matthew tells us to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He told us to occupy the weakness. He told us to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. We are his ministers, right? We understand all this. And so, this weekend, two wonderful conferences. Oh, Lord, I have to say it. One is politically focused, and we need that. And the other is spiritually focused, and we need that. But the Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? And so I'm going to, I went last night to the spiritual one. This is not criticism. Okay, this is not criticism. Well, you can take it if you want to. You go to the spiritual one, and there's no mention of cultural issues. And you go to the cultural one, and there's no mention of spiritual issues. And so the Bible tells us, can two walk together lest they agree? And so we have a divided team. I know somebody's feelings getting hurt. That's not, I'm trying to coach us. Folks, we will not save America without the King of Kings.
Good.
Sorry. You can vote Republican all you want to. You can push Trump agenda all you want to. If Jesus Christ is not at the center of everything we who know the truth, if he's not at the center of everything we do, our labors will be in vain. Now, I'm not saying that the political group doesn't love Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But I can tell you this, that's not the focus. It's not the focus of it. Get all these Republicans together, and here's what we got to do to win the political battle. And I am with them. I agree. But I would say to that group, dudes, you ain't going to win it without the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so then I go to the religious one, and there's no mention of spiritual or of political things. So we have two teams, both with the right heart, both focused hard to save America. And it ain't about saving America, folks. It isn't about saving America. It's about the truth. About expanding the truth. Oh, my goodness. Pull up number one here. I'm going to take you. I'm going to shut up here, man. I just know I'm telling you the truth. I would like to ask those at the political event. Hey, Vinny, does it sound like I'm criticizing them? Because I'm not criticizing them. Please understand it. I'm not criticizing them. I'm showing game films. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What the heck does that mean? Oh, coach, if you want to hear about that, you better go hear Tom Dunn. Go to Tom Dunn's conference. Oh, you mean we're not going to talk about this great cloud of witnesses at the political conference? So the problems we have in America are conservative, Republican, Donald Trump issues, and we'll win it if we all get behind Donald Trump and conservatism and Republican. We'll win this one. But it tells us in the next one, next verse, the next link. It tells us in the next link, Spencer, wrestle not. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me ask you something. Is that going to be mentioned at the political rally? Are they going to talk about this at the political rally? Well, no. No more than those at the religious rally are going to talk about politics. Although I will credit Tom Dunn's group, Mark Harrington's going to come and speak on abortion. Praise the Lord. Craig Saul. Look, you get in trouble when you paint with a broad brush. But until we get a marriage of these two, can I tell you this? Your church won't talk about either one. Vinny, that was a boom. Your church won't talk about wrestling against... They won't talk about spiritual wickedness in high places. the people sitting in the pew are so ignorant of wrestling, of spiritual. We are so ignorant of it. We're so ignorant of it. I asked a question last night to the, that would be the spiritual group, the spiritual group. Ask this question. What's the difference between demonic possession and demonic oppression? Could you answer that? Could your pastor answer that? Can you be a spirit-filled, God-fearing, Christ-loving Christian and be oppressed of the devil? Is a lot of what we're dealing with simply spiritual oppression from those spirits in high places? Do they talk about that in your church? No, they don't talk about that in your church. So I'm probably stepping on. I'm not trying to step on any toes. I'm trying to have a marriage there. The focus at the political conference should be spiritual issues. And the focus at the spiritual conference should be cultural issues, because those people are already awake. They already understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principality. They understand that politics is nothing more than good against evil. They understand that. Yet we don't meld the two together. These two groups should be together. They should be together. Here's the political solution to a spiritual issue. And we will not correct the political issue till we get it spiritually right. To me, it's so obvious. And I don't know how to blend the two. Because there will be Republicans sitting at the political one. I'm not making light of it. We have no spiritual discernment at all. That'd be a great place for somebody to say amen. There will be people sitting at the political event believing the only answer is getting the right Republicans in office.
Amen.
And that's not the answer. And that's why I couldn't sleep last night, because it's like me trying to repair a lawnmower and all the parts are in front of me and I ain't got any idea what to do. I ain't got any idea how to put it together. And so you go to the political event and everything seems to be out of whack, but finally somebody's starting to put it together, and then we get explained on how to better put it together. When what this group needs, some gasoline. They just need some gasoline. They need the power of the Holy Spirit to propel what it is they're trying to do, but they don't know it. In fact, you'll go to some of those political events, Glenn, where they don't even want you to talk about spiritual issues. Is that right, Glenn? Is that, huh? Is that right?
Yes, sir. That is correct. Yep.
Huh? The two are divided. Can two walk together lest they agree? See, what we need is, we need a lesson on how these two things come together. Politics is nothing more than the physical manifestation of the wrestling not of flesh and blood. That's all it is. Politics is outside spiritual issues. It is the fruit of spiritual issues. And the people who are trying to clean up spiritually don't understand. They got to get involved politically. We don't get it. Maybe that's why I couldn't sleep. Point number one. It says number one. 25 facts about abortion in America that should make you very sick. Now hang on. This ought to be issue number one on the spiritual team. What does a nation that has killed more than 60 million citizens, more than, they say more than because they don't really know. What does a nation that has killed more than 60 million of their own children deserve? I'm going to ask you this, looking at me. How high on the list of this political debate is abortion? When I would say that it is the very heart of the problems in America is the slaughter of innocent. We don't love our children, and we certainly don't love our neighbor's children. And we give no value to those little creatures created in the image of God. We give no value to them. And until if the Republican Party could be adamant, if we could get them to connect to Tom Dunn's group and help them to understand this is a spiritual issue. This is the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. This is the devil trying to eat God's children. If we could get them to see it from a physical, from a spiritual standpoint rather than a political one, Spencer, pull out. I'll get you in here, Dale. Here's something. Put on the list. Put up a PP protest. God bless Mark Harrington. Hey, folks. On April, this from Mark Harrington, Created Equal. By the way, Mark will be speaking today at the spiritual event. On April 2nd, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the case of Kerr versus Planned Parenthood, South Atlantic, which will decide whether individual states have the right to defund Planned Parenthood. On that day, pro-lifers across the country will gather to protest at Planned Parenthood facilities and other suitable locations nationwide to call for complete defunding of the nation's largest abortion clinic. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, Trump wants to do that. President Trump wants to see, abortion's murder! Abortionists ought to be thrown in jail, not funded. By the way, just curious, is the political group going to talk about this weekend? Did the spiritual group talk about it? Mark Harrington is going to talk about it today. So go on, slide down. Defund Planned Parenthood, April 2nd. Here, those of you who are local, April 2nd. From 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., we're going to be, Mark Harrington is going to have us at the Planned Parenthood right here in Central Ohio to let them know we want it defunded. I'm going to be there. I think I got to look at my calendar. My wife will be there. I'm going to be there.
I'll be there.
And you need to be there too. Why? We have to show them it matters. We have to show them it matters. Wait a minute. We have to show the political folk that it's a spiritual issue. And we have to show the spiritual folk that it's a political issue. We have to blend those two. What's two things pastors won't talk about? That's right. Religion and politics. Religion. They won't mix religion and politics when that is it. So, folks, mark it on your calendar. Mel, maybe I can get this to Mel. Let's get this on our calendar. As many of us who can, we're going to show up with our families, with our grandchildren, April 2nd, and we are going to demand that not one more dollar goes to kill babies. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Hey, folks, is it political or is it spiritual? Are those two? Huh? Hey, Glenn, help me out here, Glenn, because you're on the central committee, and so also is I get my brain to work here. Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Do they talk about religious issues at the political thing?
No, but they do have a prayer to start out the central committee.
Oh, that's nice.
But it stops there.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that something? No mixing of the two. You're not, see, there's no religion allowed in politics, even in Republican Central Committee. No Christianity allowed. And by the way, go to the church and there's no politics allowed. Do you see? Huh? You understand? A house divided can't stand. We can't win because we don't even like each other. Dale.
Yes, Coach. I just want to affirm, and it's so simple. You know, the fact is whatever the Lord has called you to do at that moment, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord and not unto man, but always focus first upon the kingdom of God. And how is God working through this? This division that you talk about is the same division that we see in the church, right? Mercy ministries, prophetic ministries. And there is a great divide there. In other words, they either focus fully on mercy ministries and nothing on the prophetic, or they're all prophetic, which to me can be a very dangerous thing, because it's always it's a critical spirit is what develops in there. And we see that that is within the church itself. And you know who wins in the end? The enemy wins by keeping us divided. And our political history, if our founding fathers were here to sign a constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the prayer and fasting that went before that, the Mayflower Compact, we realized that Christ was in all, he was working through all, and he was. And guess what? Jesus didn't just go around with a cord and whip. Sometimes Jesus went around ministering to people, and sometimes Jesus went around ministering to people, and sometimes what? He made a cord and whip. It's that balance, Coach.
It's that balance. That's about. Hey, those are Angie. I don't know if Angie's in here today. Those are involved in politics. You know that they don't want to lead with Christianity. You know they don't want it. They don't want. They're conservatives. Which, by the way, Flip Bennett.
Pretend salt.
Pretend salt. Looks like salt. Smells like salt. And so we think that we're gonna win a spiritual battle politically without Christ. You guys are drunk. We're drunk. What the heck's wrong with us? Hang on there. I got to get back up here and see who's next. Oh, I got a bunch of them. I'm sorry. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Great teaching again. Getting a terrible echo at my end.
Glenn's microphone. He just shut it down. Go ahead.
All right, great. Hey, going back to how you started the program. Actually, I like it when you pick on Joe and say, tell Joe to pick up his game. And I agree with you. Joe, pick up your game. As long as the focus is on someone else, I'm good.
Yeah.
I have to look at myself. And so, Coach, you asked if we heard talk about the demonic from the pulpit. Actually, what I realized is the demonic was talking from the pulpit. So, when going back to David Arthur, when you hear that, well, the reason why David Arthur did what he did, because Coach, he was never saved.
He was never saved. That's right. He was never saved.
That's demonic right there. If someone is speaking that from your pulpit, that's demonic speaking to you. Because what did Jesus say when the woman got caught in adultery? He said, go and do this no more. You know why he told her that? Because he knew she still had the ability, the free
will. That's right. That temptation's always there.
Whatever she wanted. And Coach, the prodigal, look at the story of the prodigal. He left, went out, lived in the world, and finally he decided to repent, turn away, and come back. And guess who got ticked off when that happened?
Oh, boy, the religious crowd did, didn't they?
The self-righteous sanctimonious. So, Coach, keep preaching it. David Arthur, I pray that you continue. Can we once be saved, always saved? I think you can. But it's not guaranteed. That's up to us, not up to the Lord. That's up to the Lord.
That's right.
And so I pray that be careful how you stand, lest you fall, because I have the full capability of doing what David Arthur or anybody else has done.
That's right.
The offense is an abomination to the Lord.
Thank you, blessing. Coach.
If more of us spent more time praying for David Arthur rather than criticizing him, I think that would be the better Christian thing to do, don't you? And that's what I think.
Amen.
Angie.
Morning.
Morning.
I just I want to encourage people, because I know it's really frustrating when we talk about blending our faith with our politics. And in me, God has naturally designed me that those two things are married together. I don't separate those things. Yeah. If my faith is not leading my politics, then faith without action is what?
Dead. Right?
It's dead. So I want to encourage people that this is not only achievable and doable, but it is actually happening. So I'll give you an example. In Lancaster, Ohio, I was on a Facebook Live meeting last night. There are six individuals, solid Christian conservatives that are running to take over the Lancaster City Council. And they are fundraising and they are working to get in, because part of it, and really what spurred a lot of them, was because of they had drag queen shows right in the middle of downtown Lancaster last summer. And people were like, where the heck is City Council? Like, why are we allowing this and to be? So we've got six solid conservative and Christians running for these seats. And this is very doable. We just have to work together. Now, on the state level in Ohio, Coach, I did send you a link on your Facebook page. Mark Pukita, who is a Christian, is also working with other Christians, and they are working to abolish property taxes as a constitutional amendment in Ohio. We've literally just gotten the language, the ballot language approved. Now we have to collect 1,000 signatures so that we can at least get it to the ballot. We have to get, well, so that it gets approval. And then we have to have about 500,000 signatures to get it onto the ballot so that we as Ohioans can vote to eliminate the unconstitutional, immoral property taxes. And so these are things that are happening. You can do this. What you need is, like Coach says, a team. You have to build these people in. You've got to start talking to your neighbors. You've got to start meeting together. You've got to start going to these meetings and working to infiltrate them and take them over. And that's what the team in Fairfield County are doing. That's what the team in Pickaway County are doing. In Ross County, same exact thing. We're working to take these systems over.
So, Angie, how easy would this be? Maybe I'm mentally ill. How easy would this be if every church in Fairfield County from the pulpit promoted it and took signatures? Will they do that, Angie?
They won't do it. Now, I will say one thing. I've got one pastor down here who is very politically active, and he would definitely do it. But that's one. That is one out of, 150 churches in Fairfield County?
Probably more, but not
probably.
See,
Coach, and I know, like you, like me, get very frustrated with the church, but we've got to stop relying on the church to do it. We are the church. So we're the ones that are going to have to go out and get this done and get this stuff accomplished.
Who are you to judge? Half the people sitting in the pews aren't Christians, folks. Sorry.
Well, you're being generous.
They've identified.
Probably more than that.
Well, how about this? They don't have a biblical worldview, let's say. Maybe they're Christians, but they don't have a biblical worldview. And they don't have a biblical worldview because the guy in the pulpit doesn't have one.
Exactly. They've never been taught. Perish, Coach, for lack of knowledge.
Amen. Glenn, come on back in.
Yeah, thanks, Angie. In the city council in Westerville, talking about city councils, they want to remove prayer from the city council meeting. That's what's going on in this town. We do have a woman that is a Christian, a young woman. She's the wife of a colleague who sits on the central committee. She's running for a seat on the city council. So, some of us are working to get her elected. But here's what I want to. We have one of the few Republican state house reps in Franklin County whose husband is a pastor. The last time she led prayer at the central committee meeting, she didn't even mention the name of Jesus. Her husband's a pastor. Wimpy, talk about being timid in the fear of man. No mention of Jesus in her opening prayer. That's the kind of Christian Republicans, some of which we have.
That's right. Well, you don't know, Glenn, you don't know her personal salvation story. Well, none of us know this, but you know them by their fruit, don't you? You know them by their fruit. Last night they asked me to close the prayer line. I didn't know they were going to do that off the top of my head. How do you pray without mentioning Jesus? How do you do that? How do you pray and not put Christ and the Holy Spirit at the center of the prayer, as opposed just at the end of it, in Jesus' name? Just throw his name in there at the end. That's where a lot of us are. I'm on politics. Claudine, then David. Go ahead, Claudine. Claudine's a politician.
Well, I am a daughter of God first, so I answer to him and him only, and I pray for his wisdom and his words to come through my mouth when I am in the politician world. And it's been pretty heavy. We've been winning in New Hampshire for the first time in a long time. Praise God. But I will say on the local level, like Angie said, this is where your base is. I've been working this since 2020, first through a prayer group. And we did have some great wins with that. But it faded because there was this inner fighting about to be praying and who we should be praying for. So it has now morphed into more of a political in with Christians team. We're not a paid group. We're just a grassroots group that meets once a month. And when it gets to our local elections, we'll meet more. This year, we hammered in our town. They didn't know what it was. It's so much better being outside than inside being a selectman in my town. So we were able to interact with some other things that the current political officials did not want. What was great, though, is the things that they wanted, which was money, they lost. We saved our town $1.2 million in taxes, and they didn't know what to do with themselves. So that was a huge success. Now, mind you, they raked me through the coals on Facebook, and I'm not a Facebook person, but you know, I can see what they're saying, and I know who's saying it, and it's just these people are vicious. It will happen. But and then going into the state house and dealing with some of the wins that we've had. Now, the first one, and I was a co-sponsor, our state for abortion is a 24-week ban. After 24 weeks, you can't have an abortion. And the governor, our new governor, stood her ground on that because that was her big attack by the Democrats. And she, even though we weren't supposed to talk about it from the Republican Party, we're not talking about abortion this time. We're going to put that on the side. That's all she talked about because she was getting hammered. So we had a bill, and it was through Cornerstone and another Right to Life organization, and we wanted to reduce it to 15 weeks. And the prime sponsor caved. And mind you, we had like three pastors on our team. And it came fast. She made all the decisions. We got run through the coals on that one. And I think it came right from the governor's office. That woman now has privileges, and she's in non-leadership, that prime sponsor. So something happened. So that got killed.
But what if we taught people what happened was a spiritual attack? What if we taught them that? But instead, we teach them religion and politics don't mix. I got to move on, Claudine. God bless you. Keep fighting the fight. David, come on in.
Hey, I just wanted to, well, first say thanks to Dave for those words. But, you know, one thing that I definitely know is that before my fall, if I would have got hit by a bus, I was on my way to the kingdom. No doubt about it. During my fall, if I would have got hit by a bus, I wasn't going to the kingdom. I was practicing something I was told not to practice. Even identifying, just claiming that false identity separated me from my Father. But two things about the spiritual that are so important. And the first is that when I got to the end of my rope during my fall, and I drove away from a scenario where I had to actually pick somebody up and throw them across their living room to get out of the house, I was bawling my eyes out, because that was when it completely hit me 100% that just claiming that identity was perversion. That there was absolutely no way possible. It was literally impossible to walk in a right relationship with my Father in heaven and claim that false identity. I had to pull over, and I just kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and just bawling my eyes out. And I saw a vision of the Father, of my Father in heaven, standing at the end of my driveway, or at the end of a driveway, I should say, with his arms like this, open wide. And he was saying, come home. Come home. The very next day, a brother called me up and said, I know you told me that you didn't want to talk about this, but you need deliverance. God told me to call you. You need deliverance. And all I could say was, okay, let's do it. We did it. The things that I felt lifting off of me, wow, the things that I felt coming out of me, anybody that thinks that you have arrived, you need to go to a freedom encounter. You need to go to a freedom encounter. You know, my last trip here, I spoke to a group of sex offenders in a state building, and not as a minister, but just as somebody to come in and speak, because I've been there and done that. And I was able to pray over these men in that building. But one of them looked at me and says, what's next, David? Where do we go from here? And I said, you all need deliverance. What's that? What's deliverance? I explained deliverance to them. And you know what they said? I need that. Huh. I want that. That's what I need. And on the way out, one of them looked at me and says, excuse my language, he said, hope you ain't shitting me. I said, what do you mean? He says, I hope you ain't pulling my leg, because I want and I need what you have.
Wow.
That's how important the spiritual is. And I know, trust me, I know better than most that the world does not believe in redemption. And half of the church does not believe in redemption, believe it or not. But I can tell you this, I don't need anyone to believe in me. Because every time, just like last night at Tom's conference, every single time I see somebody and I get to embrace somebody or be embraced by one of my brethren, when I'm walking into that building, I'm bawling my eyes out. And not because there's anything spiritually going on, but because I am spiritually moved. I have a new reverence for my Father in heaven because he reeled me in again and he gave me another chance. And everything that he has laid out before me is more important to me than my life itself, because I know where I'm going. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. And thank you for your vote of confidence, Coach.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We got our eye on you. Craig Nickel, come on in. We got about 3 minutes, Craig.
Well, what David experienced was a discipline of God, Hebrews 12 here. I'm just going to read a little bit. And we all know it says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. Because remember, we have a right to become a son of God. Okay, a right isn't any good unless you exercise it. The right to your arms is any good. Okay, so we have redemption, and we're born sons of Adam, but we have the ability to become sons of God, right? That's why Amen. The spirit is renewed. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Okay, so when David opened up those doors, he gave God legal right to beat the snot out of him, and he did. Apparently, he had to throw some guy away from him so he could get out. He was in some bad situations. It says, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So if David would have went along his merrily way and just things were just popping and everybody was just having David come speak in their church and the LGBT, then you know what? He would never have been a son in the first place. And so the thing is the miracles that he did. And then, you know, if you look at this here and this, it says Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus. So that's David's story, and those are the verses that back up his experiences.
Amen. Amen. So folks, let me throw this at you. Got to run here real quickly. How can ungodly men give us godly government? And they sold us that lie that there was a separation between the church and the state. What they were saying was that there was a separation between morality and people. That's what they were saying. Who are you to push your morality on me? That's the whole battle that we're fighting over. And to come back to conclude this where I started, we're divided in the church. The spiritual folks won't talk to the Republican folks, and the Republican folks don't want anything to do with the Christian folks because of the lie. We're the salt of the earth, baby. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.